Hey everyone, ready for a deep dive? We're tackling performance metrics today, specifically for those classification models. You know, the ones deciding things like, is this email spam? Or is this picture, you know, a cat or a really fluffy hat?
Right, those everyday algorithms.
Exactly. You sent over performancemetrics.pdf, and we're going to break down how to actually figure out how good these models really are.
It's like, how can we measure their performance in a way that, you know, actually makes sense? Because, you know, just saying, oh, it's pretty good, isn't really enough.
Not at all. We need to get specific. And our source material kicks off with this this scenario called the should you play game. Mm-hmm. So imagine someone showing you these predictions. Maybe it's something simple like, will a coin land on heads or tails?
Yeah.
And you have to decide, do you bet on the model being right?
Should you play the game?
Exactly. If you guess right, you win a dollar. But if you're wrong, well, no dollar for you.
And they give you this sample data set to work with using true class and predictions to illustrate this idea.
Right. So you can actually see, like, how often is the model getting it right? How often is it wrong?
Exactly. And it might seem a little abstract at first, but this whole game is about understanding the probability of a model making a correct prediction. Because ultimately, that probability is what helps us decide whether to trust the model's output in real-world situations.
But like, how much can we actually rely on this thing?
Exactly.
It's kind of like, you know, trusting the weather app. Like, if it says there's a 90% chance of rain, I'm definitely grabbing my umbrella.
Yeah.
But if it's only a 5% chance, eh, maybe I'll risk it.
Right. But just like we don't want to get caught in a downpour, we don't want our models making decisions with a high chance of being wrong either. And that's where really understanding these performance metrics is so important.
So it's not just about whether the model can make a prediction, but how good those predictions actually are.
Precisely. And that's why we need to go beyond just this basic should you play game and look at some more specific ways to actually measure that performance.
Right, because like you said, pretty good is going to cut it. So the document dives into accuracy first.
Okay.
Seems pretty straightforward. What percentage of the model's predictions are actually correct?
Yeah, it seems simple, right? But think of it this way. Imagine you have a fishing net and it catches a ton of stuff, but most of it is seaweed, not actually fish. Sure, it's catching a lot, but is it catching the right things?
Interesting.
And that's kind of the problem with relying solely on accuracy. It doesn't tell the whole story.
Okay, so it's not just about being right. It's about being right in a way that's actually, like, helpful and meaningful. I see where this is going already.
Exactly. And that's where we get into some other really important metrics, like recall, which is all about capturing those crucial positive cases.
So instead of just looking at everything the net catches, we're zeroing in on how well it's catching the fish.
You got it. Imagine a model that's diagnosing a rare disease, missing a positive case. That's a really big deal, right?
Right.
That's why recall is so important. It tells us how good the model is at finding those critical needles in the haystack.
Finding those positive cases when it really, really matters.
Exactly. And you know what? This actually ties back into that whole should you play game we were talking about.
Oh, okay. How so?
Remember how you could win a dollar if you bet on the model's prediction being correct, but only if you picked a positive example?
Right. Right.
That's essentially what recall is measuring. How much are you willing to bet that the model will correctly identify those positive cases?
So it's like asking, how much do you actually trust this model to get it right when it really matters?
Exactly. Now, on the other side of the coin, we have precision. And this metric is all about minimizing those false positives.
So in our fishing net example, this would be like making sure we're not accidentally scooping up a bunch of dolphins while trying to catch tuna.
Perfect analogy, because precision is all about making sure that when the model says, yes, this is it, it's actually correct.
It's like that really, really eager spam filter, you know, the one that traps every single email, even the important ones.
Exactly. Precision is what helps us avoid those situations. And, you know, the source document does something really clever here. It connects precision back to that should you play game, too.
Oh, interesting. How so?
So this time, imagine that you win the dollar if you pick an example with a positive prediction, and the model actually turns out to be right. It's just a neat way to show that precision is all about how much we trust the model's positive calls.
I like that. It's a good way to kind of wrap your head around it.
Right.
So we're seeing how it's not enough to just look at one thing, right? Like, we can't just look at accuracy. We have to think about recall precision, we need to look at the whole picture of a model's performance.
Absolutely. And to help us do that, our source material introduces a really useful tool called the confusion matrix.
A confusion matrix. Okay, that sounds a little intimidating, like something out of like a sci-fi movie or something.
It's not as scary as it sounds, I promise. Think of it more like a dashboard.
Okay.
It gives you a much clearer view of your model's performance than any single metric ever could. It's basically a simple grid that shows you where the model's doing well and where it might be, you know, making some mistakes.
Okay, so instead of just like a final score, it's more like getting a detailed breakdown of every play in the game.
Exactly. And you know what makes it even better? We can actually use real-world data to see this in action.
Oh, perfect.
So the source document, it uses the example of the Amistis dataset, which is this collection of handwritten digits.
Okay.
It's like, imagine like the hello world of image recognition. And by visualizing the results with the confusion matrix, we can see how many times, let's say, the model correctly identified a 7 versus how many times it might have, you know, mistaken a 1 for a 7.
Oh, okay.
Gives us incredible insight into the model's strengths and weaknesses.
That makes so much more sense than just seeing an overall accuracy percentage, right? Because now we can actually see, is it consistently mixing up certain numbers?
Yeah.
Or is it just making like random errors?
Exactly. And that kind of insight is really invaluable when you're trying to actually improve a model's performance.
Yeah, because if you see a pattern, then you can actually do something about it.
Precisely.
This is making me realize that evaluating these models is a lot more nuanced than I think I initially thought. It's not just about like finding that one magic number. It's about really understanding the whole picture.
You got it. And speaking of bigger pictures, our source material briefly touches on something called regression metrics. So instead of classifying things into, you know, straightforward categories like spam or not spam, these metrics are used when a model needs to predict a continuous value.
So instead of saying, is this email spam?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about predicting things like how much rain are we going to get tomorrow? Or what's the price of a stock going to be next week?
You got it. Think like predicting the temperature for tomorrow or maybe the cost of a used car. Those would all use these regression metrics.
Okay, so much more like a range of possibilities than just a yes or no kind of thing.
Exactly.
Now, the document specifically mentions mean absolute error and mean squared error. What's the difference between these two? They both sound pretty technical. So we're predicting things like temperatures and stock prices. Give us the inside scoop. What's the difference between these mean absolute error and mean squared error metrics?
Okay, so imagine you're trying to predict, let's say, how long it takes you to get to work in the morning.
Okay.
Mean absolute error, that's like figuring out, on average, how much you're off each day.
Okay.
Some days you might be 5 minutes early, other days, you know, 10 minutes late. But on average, let's say you're off by like 7 minutes.
Okay, so it gives you a sense of like how far off your predictions are on average. Makes sense.
Exactly. Now, mean squared error, it's similar, but it gives more weight to those days where you're like really, really late. So if you're usually only off by a few minutes, but then one day there's a massive traffic jam and you're like an hour late, that's going to throw off your average quite a bit.
So it's like mean squared error is less forgiving of those big mistakes.
That's a great way to put it. It's definitely more sensitive to those outliers, you know, those predictions that are way off the mark.
This has been a really eye-opening look into the world of performance metrics. We went from like basic probabilities to understanding how to evaluate a model's accuracy, its ability to catch those important positive cases. We even got to like visualize its performance with that confusion matrix.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? How much information we can get from just a few simple tools.
Right. And we even got a little glimpse into how to measure performance for those models that are predicting those continuous values like temperatures, stock prices.
And I think, you know, this is a good reminder that this is really just the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole world of performance metrics out there, each one, you know, designed for different types of models, different kinds of problems.
So much to explore. So to everyone listening, if you're feeling ready to really dive in, grab that performancemetrics.pdf you sent over and start exploring. There's always more to learn. But for now, thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We'll catch you next time.